This is a test. Can you still use the prayer book? You know how to use the hymnal? Actually, it's not a test. What happened was that the printer broke down. So we weren't able to duplicate all of the bulletins that we normally do. So at the very last minute, it did finally get fixed, but it was at the very last minute. We didn't have the time to get everything ready. So we thought, well, let's see if it works. You can see how dependent we become on such things. And maybe it's good that we do this once in a while. We kind of get back to using the books which hold us together as a people. And maybe that's a little bit of what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel lesson. See, he's journeying through Samaria. It's a long story. Interestingly enough, on the day when we don't have a bulletin to follow, so you had to listen carefully to the story. There are a lot of details in this story, and so we're going to talk about a few of them because they are important to our understanding. I already mentioned he was journeying through Samaria, and you may recall perhaps from the parable of the Good Samaritan and our discussion on that some great long time ago last year, that Samaria was a portion of ancient Israel that had gone away from the original tribes of the Israelites. It was the larger share of the northern part of ancient Israel. And we kind of tend to think that they were pagans. They're not. In fact, they were, like Jews, followers of the Torah, followers of the law. And they worshiped the same God. Perhaps in modern day terminology, and terminology we might understand, the Jews of the religious establishment down in Jerusalem saw them as heretics. They believed strange things, and in fact, over the centuries, had intermarried with the Phoenicians and the Philistines. And so there were all kinds of, from the Jewish mind in the south, from Jerusalem, corruptions to pure religion. And so it came to pass that over these centuries, the two peoples had gone farther and farther apart, so that in a very real way, if you were from the south, if you were from Jerusalem and Judah, you saw the people of Samaria as outsiders. They were outsiders. They were foreigners as far as you were concerned. If you recall, that's why the Good Samaritan parable was so critically important, because the religious observance, the Levite and the priest, they went by the man who was by the side of the road, and it was the Samaritan who stopped. Remember that story? That's why Jesus used that term when he talked about the good, what we call the Good Samaritan. And today, he is journeying through Samaria, which itself was sort of an odd thing to do, because even in the time of Jesus, in order to avoid corruption, avoid being tainted by heresy, as it were, when you went from north to south, from Galilee down to Jerusalem, you took the long way around. You went around the territory known as Samaria so that you didn't talk to these people. You didn't touch them. You didn't eat in their homes. You didn't do any of those kinds of things. And so it's kind of odd that Jesus decided in his journey to go through Samaria. He took the shortcut. And it was through, in the minds of people of his day, the religious establishment of his day, hostile territory, heresy, schism, division. Now, that's one thing. One little detail. Just one. Think of this. Who's he talking to? A woman! Oh, for God's sake! Why would he be talking to a woman? That's what the disciples are seeing. Because if you recall, again, this is not the 20th and 21st century. The place of women in Jesus' time was pretty, I wouldn't even say, it measured up to second class. Women were seen as chattel. They were property. They were to be purchased with dowries if they were going to be married. And in fact, they were seen good for a few things. Cooking, cleaning, and bearing children. That's pretty much all. They were not permitted to have any role in society other than those key things. So Jesus, sitting at the well, of all people he's talking to, not only is she a Samaritan, but she's a woman. Imagine the disciples when they came back. They probably were a little upset that they had to go into the city to buy anything to eat in the first place because they'd have to deal with Samaritans, you see. And so they were already kind of on edge about the whole thing. And they come back and they say, Jesus, having this nice conversation with this woman. Now, that's a second detail. Here's a third one. Refining it. Putting a point on it just a little bit. Notice the time of day they were there. Do you recall? It was noon. Now, if any of you have been to Palestine, to the ancient Israel, or the land of Israel today, the state of Israel, you know that noontime, particularly during the warm season, is not only warm, it is downright unbearably hot. So noon is not the time that you take your water jar to go get water from the common well. No, you do that in the cool of the day. You do that in the early morning hours. Well, so what, Father? Well, here's the point. More than likely now, this woman was not only an outsider to Jews from Jerusalem, but she's an outsider among her own people. Because the only time she sees fit to go out and get water, a necessity for life, is at the noon of the day when no one else would be there. Notice Jesus is the only one sitting at the well. Now, wells were usually the center of attention because there are people coming and going, getting water all the time. And now she's there, but Jesus is the only one there because no one else in their right mind goes and gets water at noon. But probably it was the only time she could go. And we find out why. Jesus has this conversation with her. She's already had not one husband, not two husbands, not three husbands, not four husbands, but and the man she is living with now is not even her husband. She's on number six that we know of, and they're not married. Now, go back then. You realize that Samaritans, they are observers of the law. So they are a religious people, maybe different. Maybe they're seen to be heretics by people in the South. But in reality, they are trying to observe the law as much as the people in the South, but in their own way. So we see that she is seen as someone who is way out of bounds. That's probably why she had to go there in the noon of the day. Because she was being, we know the term in our culture here, she was being shunned by her own people. And so she went when she would not suffer the grief of everyone else castigating her and criticizing her and making fun of her. So she goes to get water. She has this conversation with Jesus. Now, why does the church choose this particular reading right now? Well, you know, it's in the middle of Lent. Last week, we talked about the importance of spirit, of breath. Today, we speak about water because you remember what Jesus said, unless you be born of water and the spirit, you will not have eternal life. So today, we focus on the gift of water. Notice the first lesson from Exodus. Where are they? They're in the desert. Oh, surprise. Is there a lot of water in the desert? Most of us don't think so. But notice they've been journeying in the desert for a while, and this is a big bunch of people. And notice that it seems that in their journeys, they've been able to find enough water for each day of their journey. So in that sense, God has been taking care of them. But you see, they don't like that. They don't like to have to worry about a day-to-day existence. They want to be able to store up water for themselves so they have plenty of water. So they have to worry about these kinds of things anymore. And so they whine to Moses. Moses goes to God and says, what did you do to me? What are these people like? What do you want me to do with them? God says, go back to them. Take care of them. Do what you're supposed to do. And Moses argues with God a little bit there, and they come back, and finally God says, all right, enough. You need to show them that I'm still in charge, that I'm still the boss here. Take your stick, bang it against a rock, and water will flow out more than they can use. You've heard getting water from a rock. That's where it comes from, is this story. Talk about life-giving water, the very thing that would be most barren of water, a rock in the desert. God provides more than abundance for his people. He'll show them. So he strikes the rock and there it goes. More than they can possibly use. And that's the image Jesus is using with this woman at the well. He's saying, you know, this water, you take a drink and it'll be fine for a while, then you'll get thirsty again. But if you listen to me, I can give you water that will never run out. She's a very practical woman. She says, well, give me some of this water, and then I don't want to lug this jar back and forth. I'll never be thirsty again. And Jesus sees that she's not understanding because she is so wrapped up in the concerns of her day-to-day life. She's so wrapped up in taking care of making sure that she's got water for the day. She's so concerned in making sure that there's enough for the house that she is focused on that and that alone. So he's talking to her about spiritual things, and she just is not getting it. She is more worried about not getting thirsty again. She's more worried about not having enough water for the next day and the day after and the day after. She wants a little easier life. Don't we all? Jesus says, concentrate on first things first. Think about life-giving water. Think about water that comes from the heart, from within. Think about water that comes from the Spirit. What does that say to us? Maybe God is trying to tell you and me today that we are more like the Samaritan woman than we want to think about. Oh, perhaps we don't have 5 or 6 husbands or spouses, or perhaps we don't have to go to the well to get water outside the village every day and have everybody point at us, and it's certainly not hot. There's plenty of water outside. All you got to do is scoop some up and let it melt. But we complain about that too, don't we? Oh, I can't wait for it to get warm. And then, you know what's going to happen about July? Oh, we'll complain about the heat. And you'll forget about the cold. And that's like the people of God. That's like the people journeying in the wilderness. That's like the Samaritan woman. That's like every person who has ever been touched by God since the beginning of time. We're never quite happy with our immediate setting, our immediate situation. But that's what Jesus is telling us. But if you switch your focus, if you change your viewpoint, from worrying about the things of this world on a day-to-day basis, and concentrate more especially on the things of the heart and the things of faith. If you concentrate on the kingdom of God and doing the work of the kingdom, all this other stuff will not seem so important. And in fact, more than likely, like God took care of the Israelites in the desert, like Jesus was able to drink from the fountain, from the well of Jacob, you will be able to drink life-giving water. You will be able to see life in a different perspective. And in fact, we'll be able to see that we don't need to gather all this stuff because we're afraid we might not have enough today, tomorrow, and the day after, and 40 years from now. Maybe if we really, really, really put our trust in God in a very real and tangible way, our worries will go away. See, but we're not like that. We have to make sure that we have enough today and tomorrow, and we worry today about what we'll need next year and 10 years hence. We worry, 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 worry. Oh, Father, you're being unrealistic. We have to do these things. We have to plan. We have to make sure our bank accounts are big enough so that when we retire, we have enough money to do the things that we need to do. Yes, I know that. But if that's the focus of your life, brothers and sisters, there will never, ever be enough. It's when we change our focus. And we begin to see that the gifts that God gives us are plentiful and abundant, and very often are more than we need, rather than what we want. We will be well off. See, that's what Lent is about for us. And that's why this reading becomes so important to us. Because, you see, Lent is a time for us to make that distinction. What is it we want as opposed to what is it that we really need? How much water do we need for the day as opposed to how much do we really want? What is that balance for us? That's why we're asked to fast and abstain, to give alms, to pray, to think, to meditate, and try to sort out in our lives the difference between wants and needs. Because we often talk about needing, but what we're talking about is what we really want. But Jesus says if you refocus your life onto what your real day-to-day needs are, you will find more than likely you have more than enough. And in fact, that's why we're asked to fast and to give alms. It's because once we realize how much we actually have, we realize that living in the most wealthy, most powerful nation and society in the world tells us that when there are people who are starving, when there are people who don't have a roof over their head, when there are people who are suffering from the cold and they are naked, that it is our responsibility to take from our excess, our responsibility to take from what we want rather than from what we need, and make sure that all have enough. That is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. And when God calls us to do kingdom work, that's what he's asking us to do, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And to see that what is really important in life, this life-giving water, are not the things of this world, not the creature comforts that we find in ourselves or for ourselves. But if we really sort out what is really needed from what we really want, and make that those two things closer and closer together, we will find less worry, less anxiety, less fear. We will live more confidently, and we will find deeper happiness. We will find life-giving water. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Make the distinction. Sort it out. Rebalance life so that we focus more on what we need rather than what we want. And in the process, make sure that those who genuinely do need have what they need so that they do not suffer. That changes our world. That changes the balance of our society. That changes everything into the values of the kingdom of God. And that is what Jesus came to teach us. So, when you see an outsider, when you see a heretic or a schismatic, sit down and talk to them. You might learn something. You might find out that they too want life-giving water. They too want to find the secrets of life, the secrets of happiness and of security. They too need to hear from us this message of Jesus. Go and stay with them in their place, in their hearts, like Jesus stayed in the Samaritan town for 2 whole days. Accept them. Welcome them. Give them the water you have been given.